I came up here because I wanted to share with you a little from my heart. Many of you know, probably just by me talking about it, but also from just how I've been in the last year, that in March of 2018, I got some really disappointing news. When the Board of Ordained Ministry, BOOM, affectionately known, said to me, "Not yet." It was really devastating for me. I wasn't at all expecting this. And I realized it took me maybe a month or two to even get it in my brain that that had happened. And then after that, it took me probably 9 to 12 months to kind of reflect and come back to whoever or whatever I am. And in that time, there was a lot of soul searching. And then, of course, in February of 2019, the special general session brought forth a vote in which hurt my heart. And so I'm coming to you today to let you know that I've kind of been on a rocky road and that I've been doing a lot of praying and reflecting. And I feel like I'm finally back. So I want you to know that I might have been a little off for the last year or so, but I'm feeling like I'm back, and I'm ready for whatever's next, and I'm ready to be with you in whatever that means. So I thought that I would share with you. Thank you. I thought I'd share this with you because I wanted you to know my heart. But I also wanted you all to know that everyone goes through hard times. Everyone. And that if you're in a hard time right now, or you've just come out of a hard time, or you know you're going into a hard time, God is with you, and so are all of us. So, and I'm grateful for all those around me here and who aren't here that have been praying for me. So, all right, so now I get to talk about the scripture. How exciting. So this scripture, and many parables, are beautiful and compelling, and sometimes we get so wrapped up in the story or the details of the story, we might miss the bottom line. And so I figured I'd start with the bottom line today, and then we talk about why it's the bottom line, given what we learn in the parable. So here's the bottom line. We are to be kind to one another. That's the bottom line. So how did we get there? Well, before I get into the scripture, I want to share a story with you of my travels this week. You might have seen me on Facebook this week. I went to Kansas City for a convention, an event called the Leadership Institute. And at the Leadership Institute in Kansas City, we talked about the potential and our preferred version of the United Methodist Church. It was an excellent, exciting trip. Ted Finlayson Schuler and I went together. We had, like, no problems. Like, the airplanes were great, the driving, the rental car was great, we got an Airbnb, it was great, everything was just so easy, great, wonderful, super easy time. I mean, the topic was a heavy topic, but our traveling was so easy, and you know how that can really get under your skin if it doesn't go well, right? So we get to the airport as we're flying out, at our connecting flight, and a woman starts talking to me. Yes, people just talk to me all the time. And she said, "Well, I missed my last flight, so now I have to get on this flight to Syracuse, and when I get to Syracuse, I have to drive to Rochester, because even though I was standing there looking at the plane, they wouldn't, at the plane to Rochester that she missed, I was looking at the plane and saying, 'Just open the door, let me in.' And they said, 'No, we closed it, can't do it, got to find another flight.'" So this was her reality. So she said, "I went to the bar, had a few drinks, and now I'm getting on the plane to Syracuse." And so she said, "But that doesn't even top it off, because what really made me nervous was earlier in the week, I got a rental car, and as I'm driving down the highway at 75 miles per hour, it's faster there, I like it, it's really, I like the fast speed limit, I got a flat tire." And she said, I didn't know what to do. I went over to the side of the road, but I'm in a whole other state. I don't know anything about this state. If I was in near Rochester or in New York, I'd kind of know the rules. And she was like, it was just that flat tire thing really upset her. And then they came to get her, you know, the rental car company came to get her. And then they said, okay, that'll be like $125 or something like that. And she was like, what? So her whole trip was like just horrible, right? I think that her business part of it went well, but all this travel stuff was just not going her way. Anyway, I got in line, Ted and I got in line to stand, you know, to get on the plane, and we look over, and this woman who had just had this horrible week of all these delays and chaos and not knowing what to do and hoping it's going to be okay, she's helping a little old lady onto the plane because there wasn't enough staff there from Delta to help her. And this woman needed assistance. The elderly woman needed assistance. And this woman, even with all that stuff that went wrong, she helped this little old lady get on the plane. We just need to be kind to one another. That's all. As I shared, it's not always easy, but that's our job. So the theology of the time from this scripture was that things were going to get turned upside down in heaven. Oh, I forgot my images. I got so excited. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's found in three different gospels. It's found in Luke, in Matthew, and in Mark. Things were going to get turned upside down, and the last would be first. It brought comfort to those who were last. And we can't even imagine what last felt like in Bible times. So in our scripture today, we learn that the poor man is named Lazarus, but the rich man is never named. We don't know his name at all. He's just referred to as the rich man. And we learn Lazarus lived a miserable life. He lived hungry and with sores. But worst of all, it seems he was all alone and no one cared about him. He was there or present at the gate, but no one even saw him. It seems feeling seen and heard is a large part of self-worth. Did you see Galen's article in our newsletter last month? This is how to respond to panhandlers. And it's basically this: be kind, smile, wave, so that they feel seen. So back to our scripture. Both men die and find themselves in unpredicted circumstances. The rich man, even though he is now in the lowest of low, still thinks he can order people around, including Abraham. And he tells Abraham to tell Lazarus to serve him. The rich man does not get what he desires this time. Even though the rich man never acknowledged Lazarus in life, in the afterlife he calls Lazarus by name. The rich man also seemed to know Hebrew scripture, because he recognized and called Abraham by name too. The rich man knew of Hebrew scripture, but he did not follow it. If he had followed scripture, he would not have ignored or taken a blind eye to Lazarus. Surely Lazarus could have received the scraps from the extravagant meals of the rich man, if nothing else. At least he would have been noticed or seen and given mercy. So Abraham's answer was no. No, no, rich man, you have had a good life, but you did not share. You did not care about your neighbor. Our parable foreshadows Jesus' resurrection as well. The rich man thinks if Lazarus rises from the dead and visits his brothers, that will change their way. Surely people will listen to the morals of a dead man who has risen from the dead. Abraham's answer is classic. If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, who have moral and scriptural authority, why would they listen to a lowly dead man who has risen from the dead?
Well, in Matthew 25, Jesus is Lazarus in the parable. He puts himself in the lowly position and is hungry and sick and naked. And Jesus said, "When did you do it for the least of these? You did it for me." So I wonder, who is the Lazarus of our time? Who is suffering? Who are we ignoring that are suffering? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, good answers. Who else? Since Elise started it, who else? Panhandler? Homeless? Kids. Even though it's challenging, we must show kindness when it comes to inclusion and diversity. I'm glad you said that, Stark. So at this conference, it was brought to our attention, my attention, that there have been 19 murders of trans people in the last few years. And one was just last week in Kansas City. And so the presenter of the Leadership Institute said, we would like to get together and pray. Pray for trans people, pray for their safety, pray that they might feel safe, pray that people might come to know peace with trans people and not have hate. And so we had like a pop-up prayer time, and it was outside in one spot. And I got there, and the circle kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so this pop-up prayer for trans people and peace on earth and peace among our friends probably ended up having about 200 people. I mean, it was just beautiful. And it was such an important thing to know. I didn't know this was happening. And it was such an important thing to pray about. So through this parable and so many others, Jesus is calling us to be kind to one another. Not because it will get us the best life or because it's the kind and but because it's the kind and right thing to do when we love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to God's justice, not the world's justice. We pray about every week, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The justice that includes all people suffering or broken, not just the people we know, the people we don't know. The justice that calls us to not be blind to suffering in our world or in our neighborhood, but to be continuously kind. So I will close with the words of Mr. Rogers. There are three ways to ultimate success. The first way is to be kind. The second way is to be kind, and the third way is to be kind. Amen.